Well, it's really good to see everybody this Monday. I guess it's afternoon for most of you, depending on where you are today. So we kind of shifted agendas a little bit. So the calls right after retreats, instead of being coaching calls, we'll just focus on questions and office hours so that we can really talk through how everyone's processing everything post-retreat. So I thought as we kicked off, we would start with the awkward and uncomfortable part of our program today. Which is where I apologize for not being my best self. Thursday morning when we kicked off the retreat, I may have used a couple of F-bombs in that opening, and not like an F-bomb is an unusual thing for me. And I've been really sitting with this the last couple of days. Do I let it pass? Do I acknowledge it? And the truth is, it's just been really bugging me. So I wanted to acknowledge it. I talked with Lifestyle earlier. They were really cool about it. I do not want to go into the details because it is not about that. But the last couple of months have been a little bit challenging. Nothing that we can't handle. But there may be in our professional space some mean people who are not being cool. And on the morning of that particular event, I may have gotten a really shitty email from one of those people. And I'm not going to lie, Trailer Girl came out. I was upset. I was frustrated. It didn't seem right. It doesn't in any way reflect the experience. Like it just, and so in that moment, because I was tired and worn down, all the things that we talk about that keep us above the line and clear and conscious, none of those were working in my favor on that particular day. I read the email. I got wildly agitated. And then my assistant was like, go out the door. You got to go. And so it's not that I have an issue with the F-bomb. Like, that's not the issue. It's that in that space, I was discharging one hour opening at the same time that I was really discharging some negative energy that didn't have anything to do with the group or you or the coaches or the guests or the people in that room. And whether I like it or not, and I don't, it was not in honor of who you are, why you're here. It was in honor of Tiffany and Jared or Adam or FICOM or Seth or anyone else. And as soon as it was over, I felt awful, like in your gut, awful. Knew I did not show up in the way that I wanted to show up. It was like the girl from the trailer really just showed up on that stage. And we had an event to do, and I had to just accept that I hadn't shown up perfect and move through it and really try to just ground my energy and get to a place, which I hope and I think that I did. But I just could not sit with it. This is a place where we talk about authenticity all the time. I sit here and I say, hey, Tiff and Jared had to sit with their teams, and they like, and I'm not exempt from that. The hardest part about what I do is that people think for some reason that I'm going to be perfect. I'm not. I try to own the heck out of that. What I've learned along the way is that I can be authentic. And so as I sat here this morning reflecting on, do I just let this pass? Everyone had great things to say, or do I own it? I just really felt called to sit in ownership of it. It was not the most graceful thing I've ever done or said. And it just, in fairness, again, I have no issue with the F-bomb. With the right energy and time and context, it's very awesome. But that was not the energy that it was coming from. And, you know, you guys know my coach died last year. And the truth is, it was really just a wake-up call to me that I need to grieve her. And I need to deal with some, like, it has nothing to do with this person, by the way, zero. I want to be really clear about that. It has nothing to do with the person. It has to do with the fact that I'm triggered by mean people sucking. Like, that's just right. I was a good person. Bad things happened. I don't know. Like, so that's my work, is that when someone has that agency over my feelings, my work is to sit in that space and go, why is this landing for me? I know this is not who I am. I know that the people who know me know this is not who I am. So why is it like triggering me so much? And it's because it triggers stories for me that are based in trauma. And that's just work I need to do so that no matter what's happening in my external space, I can always show up with the most grace and dignity that I can to make sure that the work that I'm doing is what the focus is. And in those few minutes, it wasn't the focus. And I just feel like I owe you all an apology for that. It wasn't my intent, but it's how I showed up. And I just hope you can just give me a little bit of grace there. Thank you all for that. And this is a really powerful conversation about trust equity, which is, you know, in lifestyle, they were just like really great. And I know you guys are too. That's not the thank you guys. You know, everyone at the meeting when I talked to you was like, it's fine. But the truth is, I know it's not fine. And that's trust equity, which is you hope that you show up and you care enough and you intent enough that people really genuinely know that when you mess up, it's not intentional and you can pull a little bit out of the trust equity bank and move on. That said, as they shared with the team, you don't get to tax that account too often. So it's the uncomfortable part of the program, but I feel like you are all doing so much work here to grow who you are that I just wanted to honor you by showing up in that space with you. So thank you for your grace. And mean people still suck, but my coach will help me with that. All right. So the rest of this call, I really genuinely want it to be about you. So let's talk about where you guys left. We had, wow, just so much last week. Growth retreats. You guys, I know you guys always think value retreats in the summer are a big deal, but then you get to growth retreat and it's like, mind blown, because it's literally like a marketing conference for 70 people. So I just would love to go around and talk about like what you've processed over the weekend and any issues, questions, reservations that you have as you sit in that space. Kim, let's see, you're in the bottom right. Why don't we're going to go backwards this day and we're going to start with you.
Okay. Well, so I think I actually didn't think about it a lot over the weekend, which is
good for you. Yeah. I didn't think about anything on Saturday. I was like zero.
Yeah. It's abnormal. So that's actually a good thing. But I think what, this afternoon, like just before this meeting, we had kind of a kumbaya with a group of advisors who, many of whom had attended virtually. And then Sherry and myself, and we kind of heard from everybody what their takeaways were, which there were many. A lot, the COI piece really hit Tiffany, just so you know, like a lot of people were at that session from our group and they really liked that a lot. And I waited till they got through all their stuff, which was all good. And I took notes, but it all led back to, and even some of them acknowledged, like, we don't have a niche. And so it makes it really difficult to do like all these awesome things. And so we need a niche. And so then I pulled out Jared. and like, what's funny is, so we had the meeting at noon, it's now 3:00, and the more introverted folks have come in since then and are like, "Ooh, I've been sitting with this. I like it. I really like it. Like, here's where my mind is going with it." Some of the others like immediately reacted and were brainstorming. And so I think that they like it a lot. I sent you an email to see if we could get a little time with you. I think the thing that comes up for them is kind of the same thing that those of you who are in the room kind of shows up, I think, for Sherry, in that, like, well, if we go this direction, will our current clients feel left behind, right? So that fear of like people not feeling like they have a place anymore, and what would that mean? And she's moved through it because we already had time with you guys and good counsel, but I just think it would be great for the team to have a chance to kind of weigh in and ask their questions. And also, like, we all think this is an awesome idea. I think it is. I think it's a great idea. But we also can be shiny object chasers. So I want to make sure like we've done our due diligence, but we really, I don't know. I mean, I've had Sherry in my office twice today with a hurricane tool for all of our snowbirds in Florida, like to help them. Like,
did everybody hear kind of where Sherry and Kim have kind of narrowed the focus? And then we were doing the marketing thing and we came up with this fun, like, snowbird strategy for, right? Like, that's pretty fun.
It's so fun. And so, like I said, I mean, she happened to be talking to a business owner who we just found out has a place in Florida, and he had this great tool for how to, like, all the things you need to do to prepare your place in the case of a hurricane. And it was like, ooh, there's your value adds around all kinds of stuff. So it's been a very exciting morning and early afternoon. And so we're looking forward to maybe starting to take some steps to more fully think that through, and then all the implications of what comes with that in terms of development of materials and such.
Yeah, I think you guys are in a similar, very similar position to Tiff and Jared. Tiff, do you want to talk a little bit? Because I know you're going in and you're having like the destiny general client conversation, and then you're having the what we'll call the specialist conversation. Do you want to just, because some of you have really niched and some of you are broader, but you can really sell a general service with a specialty focus. Do you want to talk, Tiff, just a little bit about how you kind of position, you know, the two positions?
Yeah, I think it's just to be, Kim, what you guys are experiencing is totally normal and niching, because you're just like, but I have this practice. What does it mean to my clients if we go in this direction? And like you're snowboarding, it has a lot of, as Jared put in the chat, it's a mindset. It doesn't just have to be a technical thing. So you can add this level of like, what does it mean to your existing clients? And then really you're deploying it as a marketing tool that also allows for you to have like a deeper level of offering in your client experience. We do have the two, which Destiny Capital and Entrepreneur Aligned are very different. Destiny Capital started off as a generalist firm that over time grew with founder Steve. So while it was generalist in the reason that he was taking on, what we found was as he was also aging and nearing retirement, his clients matched that. And it was fairly quick to see that they were nearing or at retirement, primarily in Colorado. And we did a really good job with the complexity that were associated with those clients when it came from like a tax, estate planning, and retirement needs. And so it naturally allowed us to be like, this is where we focus there. It's still not like a mind-blowing thing, right? Like it's retirement primarily with the community that we have, and we're nurturing that in a way to continue to get the organic growth that we do. But none of them are offended by the fact that like we're focusing in on entrepreneurs. Everyone's curious about where entrepreneurs, like what are they thinking? How are they positioning their wealth? What are they doing to grow? All of those things. And so there's like, this practice was built very specifically for your needs. We have a team that's associated with ensuring that your needs are met from a retirement perspective. We're doing all the planning associated with that. And then over here, we have a team that specializes in that. We have a client service model, a fee model, and all those things. And we have the conversation around that. When I'm talking to entrepreneurs about why we have both, it's like, well, you know, traditional wealth management was made up to serve 90% of the population. It turns out we found that 10% of entrepreneurs were wildly underserved when it comes to wealth management. We're out to solve that. And this is why this particular model is really important to you. We've removed conflict when it comes to fees and the advice that we're giving. Here's the type of client service model that we're offering you as an entrepreneur, knowing that you're centering your wealth in the business that you're building, and we want to start helping with you in all of that planning. And we don't want to be there just at a liquidity event when every other advisor is simply going to show up and all of a sudden want to be there for you. That helps them a lot. That does not offend our retirement clients in the slightest.
Right.
So, it's a marketing tool, right? I'm not messaging that to our existing clients.
There are a lot of firms
for our new clients.
Niching is amazing. Niching accelerates and optimizes everything, period. And there are lots of firms that are doing okay not niching. So we were talking about this in the lifestyle call, which is I want you to think about, do you guys remember like seventh grade science? Kingdom, phylum, order, species. I had a really good science teacher because she taught us an acronym. Kinky people often find good sex somewhere. If you want seventh graders to remember science, I'm 49 years old and I'm still like, kingdom, phylum, order, species, genus, species, subspecies. Like, hell yeah, that's the power of branding and marketing, by the way, right there. 49 years old, there was zero chance I was ever going to remember that otherwise. The reason I'm sharing that is you start broad, and then you're classifying narrower and narrower. So some of you are really able to hit that specialist strategy, right? Isaac, Liz, as you focus on women. Some of you are more in a generalist camp, and some of you are in what we'll call a generalist, right? David and Joe, Kim, you guys are moving into what we'll call, Mark, same for you guys, generalist specialists. And what I mean by that is I was talking with one of the lifestyle members who was like, hey, I'm really focusing on women. And I have this specialty now in complex divorces. So should I niche in that? She doesn't have that audience built up yet. So I was like, there's nothing that prevents you from continuing to focus on your kingdom or your, right? and say, and within women and within retirees, we've developed a specialty around, right, retirees with second homes. Really easy story, by the way, because most retirees in general who have the kind of assets that you ultimately want them to have either have one or love the idea of having one. So you, again, because you have a significant number of clients, you can maintain that focus with the specialty. And here's what I'll tell you. If you change the website tomorrow, 99% of your clients wouldn't notice. They are not going to your website like, oh my God, it doesn't, you know, what's this snowbird strategy stuff? Like, what happened? I'm just a normal old person. Like, they don't go there once they're a client. And if it comes up, now we do think that positive communication, and that's just an easy story. Hey, when you're doing the Kingdom Phylum, it's a really easy story, much easier for Jaren, harder than for Jaren Tiff. For you guys, it's easy, which is, hey, we've developed a special, you know, focus working with people, you know, couples and families nearing retirement. And so many of our clients have second homes that we've developed a real core specialty. So you're not going to give up those retirement clients unless you want to, again, depending on the service model, but it still lets you go. And when someone hits second home on your checklist or your tax form, you're going to be like, ding, ding, ding. When someone hits complex divorce, when someone hits business owner beyond the typical stuff, when someone hits our issues, you're like, ding, ding, ding. The brain cannot help it. Kingdom Phylum. Kinky people often find, like, I'm never going to forget it. I was seventh grade and it had sex in it. Zero chance. 100% probability it's remembered forever. Right? If you say something to a divorcee that's really pointed to her at that moment in time, she'll never forget it. And so that's where we want to look at your brands and your websites through the lens of, where are you, Kingdom? How narrow can we niche? And it doesn't mean, right, you guys have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of clients. We're not transitioning millions of dollars. But it's, how do we respect the foundation and look at optimizing and right-sizing the client base for the goals that you want to serve? So that's the messaging, is like retirement. And we so what we'll have to ultimately decide is your primary message focused on retirement, or is your primary message focused on snowbirds? And it's just how niche you want to go in that first page messaging.
And Kim, to your team, I think oftentimes it's hard enough as an owner to digest the fact that you're like, as a brain and as a human, you're like, oh no, like if I limit this, it means I'm getting less, which it's fascinating because it's actually the opposite. It means you're getting more opportunities with the right clients. And it's similar to like in the client service model where you're like tiering the service and it's like, well, what if that means I'm underserving the bottom? And it means, well, what about the fact, does that feel good that the cost is coming from your top clients to service those bottom clients? Like that mindset shift is like, oh, like I need to think about that. I'm often having those conversations with our advisors because I've worked through them myself to be like, oh gosh, we limit that. And then super to your team on top of it, like us focusing on entrepreneurs doesn't change the fact that traditional wealth management knocks at our door, because it's still like, they're like, oh, like you also do this, like I'm interested, or, oh, we have this like key employee, or, you know, my sister or my brother or whatever. And it's like, well, we have the opportunity to serve you there too, right? Like you're not going to turn down a really high value client just because they don't have a second home. And those opportunities don't stop coming through. But to Steph's point, you will now have new criteria of qualifying that allows you to grow and scale in a way as a team to make better decisions on who you say yes to and who you say no to and who you attract to say yes and no to. So feel really positive in that. And then just, it's going to be like nurturing that conversation with your team for a while, because it's a scary feeling to give up like the broader market. Even though like it's more of a feeling than it is an actual cause of the or effect of like making that decision. You don't lose opportunities just because you're marketing in a certain way. And sometimes you do, because that's exactly what your marketing was intended to do. So feel good about it, but it is going to take some time for your team to feel that adjustment of just an AUM number as a qualifier to like additional qualifiers that make everyone feel really good about the clients that you're serving.
Well, and this point is really good, because what Liz has gone through this, Kim, you're going through it, Tiff and Jared have gone through it. I think you guys, Joe, you might be going through it, is your teams aren't, their economics don't change and I mean this with all love, with your mediocre, just like when we make mediocre decisions, their economics don't change. And so when we go to right size those decisions, they're like, but wow, I don't understand. And you're like, well, of course you don't understand because I've been paying the tax. Our job is to reframe it. And, you know, we've talked a lot about, Kim, you and I, Liz has talked about it, Jared, is that reframing is helping them view it through the lens of the business case, which is, hey, everybody, if we sat down, like we ran the profitability analysis and what this means, we love these people, but it means that we should actually be sitting down with our top clients and saying, thank you so much for that gold star story, right? Like you're paying for 15 small clients. Like, hey, team, would we feel good about that? No, not so much. And that's the challenge, is you have these legacy cultures and things have been comfortable for a long time. And then one day you wake up and you're like, actually, we're going to get it together. They're like, whoa, this is, I don't understand. And that's our job, is to sit in, is to help sit in that space. If you can help them reframe it, then I think to Tiff's point, you can actually show them how it's wildly better for the client. Hey, we're doing a 529 over here. We're doing an RSU over here. We're buying a second home. We're like, we're doing all of these things that if we really just got really clear about the client segments, and I think in your case, who's going to focus them? We've all, I think, had the conversation about the container strategy. Have we all had that conversation? Right? Like you're all big enough. You're not a $300,000 firm. You're all big enough that we're not going to be like, ooh, let's eradicate 50% of the client base over the next 15 months and start over. That would be impractical. And we also want to look at what are the goals that we're moving to. Some of you, right, Kim and Sherry, are big enough that that becomes, it's a bigger ship that you've got to move. And so we figure out what's that container strategy, what advisor or advisors service the core retirement planning clients without the snowbirdy stuff. And then, right, how do we grow? And now we look at the staffing model through that lens is very different than, hey, we're just going to take anybody that comes and that, you know, thinks they want to do retirement planning. And if we can help the team understand, hey, there's a way we can have this container strategy here where we can provide this level of service. For you guys, it's going to be capacity. For all of you, it's going to be capacity. Do we want to maintain this income engine, if you will, and then grow with those specialty clients? Do we ultimately want to transition if we can't grow advisors and hit capacity? Growth, that's ultimately what will happen, by the way, as firms are growing. If they can't hire advisors, they'll have to focus more and more because they won't have the advisor capacity. If you're in a small firm and big firms are hiring 20 people and you're trying to hire two and you only get one, how are you going to grow? And so that's why we really want to look at the client base through what's the lens of what we're trying to build, what's the staff that we ultimately think we're going to need, and then how do we leverage that as much as possible? All right, Kim, does that help a little bit? Joe, could be Joe or Neil. I love that that's your title now.
Well, I haven't thought about anything from last week yet because I had my staff retreat this morning, which went very well.
So how did that go? What were the big takeaways from that?
Very excited. So ended up breaking up early, which is, I guess I talked fast enough and I didn't overbite the bullet. I talked about our staffing, our client service model. We addressed that. We addressed staff reviews. And then we're going to talk about fees at another meeting and some more operational stuff at another meeting, because they didn't want to just blow the day up. So, but everybody's on board about raising fees, about cleaning stuff up, and good buy-in. So very, very happy. So
great. That's cool. Awesome.
Yeah. And I flew back last night and I got home at 5 something. So I'm a little
tired. Welcome.
So, but no, it went very well. So, and, so I guess our stuff is now about, you know, process and streamlining and make ourselves more efficient, about raising client fees, not only across the board, but getting rid of the special deals when we switch from our broker dealer for the people that are at like 72 beeps or 73 beeps or the 27 different fee schedules we have. So it's no longer going to be 27 different fees, and 27 might be less than it really are. We have a lot of different fee schedules built in Ohio.
It's like I'm being a server. So. Well, you guys are really going through, and everyone is really to a varying level. It's the real work behind all this is standards, yep, right? It's always been show up, be good people, do your best. We're all trying our, you know, and that usually, by the way, works out pretty good if you've got good people. And when you start to look at it through the lens of what would be possible if we optimize the support systems behind those good people and made them great people, a lot more would be possible. And so sometimes it's just that cultural shift of helping your team get on board with that. And I think you've all done a good job. And as we talked about at retreat, I think we can help you, or at least new members, but for each of you also, if you're continuing next year, like we're going to be looking at like, let's get with like, what's that team kickoff? How do we really set that in the right spot for everybody so that they're on a track as well? We can kind of help keep the trains running on a parallel track, if you will.
I have no pushback for not re-backfilling for the paraplanner position. So
great. Yet. Yeah. So everybody's on board. His staff retreated. That's a good one, Mark.
If Mark knew my staff, they probably would, but that's not the story.
All right, Mark, how about you? Any big questions, issues, takeaways, or just digesting since Friday?
Digesting, probably. I mean, I actually spent most of the morning building a list of all the little niggling details that have to be taken care of by Friday, since we're pulling the ripcord on Friday.
Yep.
So, you know, the biggest thing for me is I don't know what role I will occupy going forward in terms of influencing strategy, figuring out. I mean, Journey does not niche, for example.
Yep.
At least not at the moment. So, I mean, we are building a landing page that is niche focused.
Yeah.
So, you know, all that is to be determined. It's all good though.
Great. So it's really about how you're going to translate the best practices from here that you want to apply in that new ecosystem. And I think they're open and they're just young enough that they don't have those systems and structures developed.
Well, there's a lot of systems, actually. They're much better at process automation than we are, way better. But some of these other things are not in place. I will comment, and I posted this in the weekly update posting, which, as you know, I'm the only person on my mastermind that does that. But I'm sitting here looking at my whiteboard, and every single thing I wrote in March that I wanted to get done this year is done.
That's awesome.
I would, as a credit to you, F-bomb or no F-bomb, that probably wouldn't have happened. And I'm kind of sorry I missed that session.
Yeah. That's right. You know how it goes. I was just very enthusiastic. Let's just go with that. I think there were three actual F-bombs in the opening where I was like, you're all effing awesome. And you're effing awesome. I was like, and you're effing awesome.
Yeah, it was to do the same. So
yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Fortunately, I have a team that can cope with it and tends to do the same thing. So anyway, I'm not worried about a thing process-wise or anything else. I've got a transition to execute that starts next Monday.
I'm cutting it off at 3, Magzik.
So then, you know, then we'll see, right?
Yeah. Well, and when you're going into, right, an acquisition merger of operating systems, if you will, those are the conversations that are really important, which is how are we going to implement service models, you know, versus our standard clients versus our niche clients? How is that going to work with the team? How are you guys going to support that? And again, I think they've got like lots of workflows. These are just kind of, when you think about tiered service models and the things that we're teaching here, it's just how they're going to adapt.
And we've built all that out, right? We have this big spreadsheet that shows what we do for each segment of our clients. And I know their systems and processes can leverage that. It's just a question of what they're going to bring to the conversation in detail. And I don't know that yet.
Good. So let me know if we can support that, if the group can support that. But I think Penny's really open about those things. And those are the conversations that you're going to have. As any of you ever get to a point where you want to evaluate potential partners, those are the conversations that we ultimately like really like to go through, which is how do you implement service models? Can you support surges? What about niches? Because some firms let you maintain a lot of autonomy in systems, and so you can implement that. Some firms are in a hybrid model where you've got to figure out what they're doing and what you're doing. And some firms want to own everything at the firm level. And then it's about, right, can they support the specialized systems that you've put in place to create, kind of to optimize the practice in your life the way that you have. So I'm sure they'll figure it out with you, Mark. But if I can sit in that space with you or Penny at all, please let me know.
Of course. And to answer Joe's question, about Saturday dinner, it had what I got what I expected, actually, which was you're absolutely out of your mind. We're not going to do that. And there was definitely an F-bomb deployed, not by me, And I said, yeah, but you said I was out of my mind about going to Disney and out of my mind about going to Bahamas too. And we're doing both of those. So it'll take her probably 3 or 4 months to absorb it. And more importantly, she'll look at our bank. She'll look at our taxable account in November and be like, oh. So I think it was typical. You've got a harebrained idea and you're out of your mind. And then.
I know you always say that. I know that she's really acclimating to the idea based on our many conversations, but I also want to suggest that you might still be acclimating too.
Oh, this is somewhat dated, but I read this for myself, not for her.
Yep.
I read it just to read it, and I got about 2 chapters in, and I was like, this kind of sort of feels like me. So 100%.
And that's okay.
And the only other stipulation was that she, I wouldn't say made me, because I kind of had done it anyway, set aside in cash the motorhome money.
Yeah.
Well, I put it in 1-year T-bills because you can get 4% and we're not going to pay for it for a year. But she made me put it in cash. I was like, okay, whatever.
Well, look, what makes sense on the paper doesn't, like, paper and people are not, you know, when you think about the actual 4% difference over the course of the year after the taxes, this is not that big a deal, relatively speaking.
That's correct.
And it's about, you know, look, I grew up in a trailer. Like, it's about what makes people feel good. And you're, for all of you, it's about sitting in the space of rationalizing that sometimes. Like, 5 years is probably too much dry powder to have. Like, you could be deploying that capital. And so that's the really cool thing about planning, is that you do really get to sit in that space. So Mark, I know that you guys are going through a lot of change and transition, and a huge part of it is just you're getting comfortable. We talked about this. When you sell, like, it's a shift, because up to that point, you all had the lever of control. Mm-hmm. And if at any moment you sell, then you don't have the same lever of control. Now your income is largely coming from your investment account. You can't just pop in and say, hey, this is the way it's going to be. And those are the shit, like, learning to trust it and count on it, redefine yourself through that process is just as much work as the deal terms ever are, in my experience.
Well, the single hardest thing for me to cope with is just the fact that I'm literally a week away from not being in charge.
Yeah.
So, you know, I told the building owners that we need to change the name on the electronic signage out front. And a building owner says, well, who's going to sublease the space? I said, nobody's going to sublease this space. I mean, we're staying here. And he's like, well, if you change the name, then it changes the lease. And I was like, I can't answer that question on how they want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, before, and, I was like, sure, you want to release? Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But now,
and like, I had a really cool conversation with Penny. I love what they're doing there. And those are the things, because they are early in their acquisition journey. Mm-hmm. I know from the many onboardings we did at United, we built out an incredibly detailed checklist about everything in your life that was.
So I just sent Damien a note saying, hey, we need to decide whether I keep my LLC open and we pay rent through that and you reimburse me, or, you know, we want to assign a lease or whatever you want to do. But I mean, there are going to be a lot of questions like that, that I would just answer off the top of my head, that are like, I'm not in charge. That's their problem.
Yeah. You get to pass the buck, as we like to say. All right. So it sounds like you're
in charge for 30 years.
Yeah. You guys are literally at the final phases of nailing all that down. So again, we toasted you on Friday. You had already left. We do have a really good picture of us drinking a really nice glass of champagne on your behalf, which
somebody would have gotten a double hit from me anyway, because I don't drink. It was probably Joe.
Yeah.
Or David.
We did have apple juice, but there was no one there to drink it, so we didn't bust it out.
There you go.
We did. The Martinelli cider is really yummy. It actually is quite good. The grape apple is my favorite. All right, Liz, how about you? Takeaways, observations, like, where are you sitting after last week?
I feel a lot more clear. I really love the way that the different visioning exercises kind of wove together. I'm really excited about raising fees and defining out what our service model is today and putting it in that hijacking Isaac's service model picture. And I have seen my tendency in the past to paint like what could be or what will be, and that freaks my team out. So instead, just doing exactly what's today and then doing fee raises off of that. Even today, I had a conversation with Clinton, and he's more on board with doing his side of the client base, depending on how it lands. I tend to be rather negative on, or just not aware of all the new business that we have coming in. Because I think I'm always tuned into the hunt and not to what's in motion. And so I also see just this, we're going to have like 4 opportunities to fine tune our sales process in the next 2 weeks. So I'm excited about that too. Focus more on like what it is that I'm saying and some of those embedded messages that we worked on. So I'm really excited about that. I also really liked, this is like a new thought for me of what's my exit strategy. And talking to Clinton about that today and like, what is the age that we want to be finished? Okay. And if it's 5 years before that we get our liquidation event. Okay. And then even Kim's conversation about how they structured it of like, what could we put in metrics now that for our team to buy into the changes that we want to make over time. So yeah, a lot of great thoughts.
Well, I think what's so powerful about that is if you think about that straight line conversation that we had, I mean, most of us did not have that clarity about what the destination was, much less the line earlier in our careers. And I think we'd all agree that we'd have been a lot more efficient in making decisions and aligning choices if we'd had that clarity. So it's good to hear that you guys are really aligned, that you are really starting to think about what is the, you know, again, it doesn't mean it's not going to change 6 times between here and there, but having that intent that every single day, the practice that you're building is there to be a vehicle to support the outcome that is your life. That's the founder's journey. By definition, that's the work. How do we build a business, an asset that fundamentally supports our financial, right, and personal freedom in a way that we feel great about? And the character part of that is you're supposed to add real value to clients and I believe in excess of the fees that you charge them so that you can put your head on the pillow every night going, yeah, this is a win for everybody. So you have to deal with all that other stuff that comes with it not being a win for everybody. It's just easier. So that's the really powerful part that I know you're leaning into. But for those of us, you know, 15, 20 years down the road, like, dang, I wish I had had that level of clarity, just that there, that was my path and I'm going to be able to bob and weave through it as efficiently as possible. And you guys are making a ton of changes on the staff, on the service models, and it is starting to show. Are you doing consistent business development reporting just about the pipeline and where you guys are and right at every stage of the process? So let's talk about that in our next call. You don't even have to do big complicated stuff. Like literally your success sister or basic spreadsheet can start to track everything from right point of initial, right, what's on the website to point of inquiry to who reached out to who had a second call, because you can really quickly over the course of a few months develop averages. Hey, you know, if we have right 12 calls, we get 1 client, which means if we want 2 clients, we need 24 calls without any improvement, right? And then our goal would be to try to get right 3 calls out of those same 12 so that we're incrementally making the lead gen, the sales, the marketing, the website, and the sales funnel more and more effective so that we can just keep ratcheting those numbers. That's the cool thing about branding and marketing and sales is if you all adjusted, if you just doubled your conversion rate, think about the leads that come to your website, like as a pure number and the number that hit your call to action to schedule it. Like what if the number of people went from 1%, maybe it's 3%, Isaac. Maybe it's 17%, but what if we took it from 3 to 6 or 17 to 34? What would that mean in terms of the lift that you would get with no more marketing time, energy, or capital? Just the same amount of effort. And that's why the branding, the website, those sales funnel conversations become so potent is we don't know how much we're losing in the colander until we start to measure. Maybe we have a colander, it has these holes, what's staying in the colander, what's coming out. Let's start to understand that funnel. And as soon as we get some data to that funnel, we're in a much better position to start to make changes that will tweak that data. And then we have really what I'll call fine directional control. We changed the download this month, Isaac. Let's see, we led with a why download, you know, 47% uptake rate. Should we lead with a functional download? What is the most popular topic on everybody's mind right now? hey, if it drops to 33%, it tells us that's not the most effective for his audience. If it bumps up to 53%, we're like, okay, your audience likes functional messages more than, right, when we think about the download. That data is all available on Google Analytics. And then with just your core marketing data. So Liz, when we just follow up, let's just really talk about putting some basic business development tracking in place so that you can start to see what those averages and ratios are. And as soon as we have that baseline, then we can start to go through the marketing ecosystem, soup to nuts, scientifically. Is the brand clear? Is the target audience? Is the website right? And then as we just move through that process or the funnel, we should start to see those numbers improve over time. And then we start to see what actually moves the needle and we double down on it. All right. So yeah, I'll make a note of that as well.
Great. Just one more piece of information.
Yes,
Jared, please. I looked and I have 242 clients right now. This is just for me. $44 million. And so like the average client has about 180 million or 180,000 with me. And the average basis points is 63. So bumping up our AUM to like, I mean, to our fees 1 point for the first million is going to make a huge difference. And it's, yeah.
And that sounds like attrition. But so have you like literally we do this attrition analysis because the fear is, of course, like, oh, my God, we're going to lose 25% of the clients. They're going to hate me at the grocery store. I'll bet you on the math. I'm, you know, like you're if you do a 33% fee increase, you can lose 25% of the clients and you're going to net be the same or up a bit. And you're going to have a massive amount of time and capacity. And what you're probably going to find, it might be a little different given the makeup of your clients being smaller and legacy. So I will be really honest. We tend to see higher, right? But like usually it's one or two or three. You just have more clients and a little bit less of that deep relationship. It might be a bit higher, but it could literally be 30%. It would be very unusual for that to be the case. But even if it was, you'd literally be at a net neutral number and you'd have 30%. Mm-hmm. Capacity back.
Yeah.
And aside from the what story, you know, what that means to us, those are at a business level, that's a really compelling business case. And then we just again marry it with the legacy and the culture and make sure you guys feel good about it.
Yep.
Awesome. Cool. So big changes happening and big changes ahead that should ultimately, again, you guys are just in that place where doing too much for too many, for too little, for too long has some real economic tax. And then when the markets go down, and right, you're billing low fees on smaller account sizes, it squeezes the margin. Then if we're like, it just is not a sustainable business model over the long term. And that's the fair conversation to have with clients. Like costs are going up. We've been undercharging for a long time. Adam did, and 99% of his clients were like, I was wondering when you were going to raise your fees. Again, Midwestern, smaller accounts. So I want to be really mindful that it is a different demographic. But I think you're still going to be okay. So let's just keep having that conversation about how you're going to implement that and how it goes. But great. That's going to give you a lot of just a little bit of lift in the revenue is going to give you guys a lot of just headspace and heart space to just focus a little bit more without worrying about supporting a client base that isn't quite where it needs to be from an economic perspective. So it really does compromise the experience a little bit for you guys. So it's super fair is what we're all trying to tell you. David, how about you? What about you and Dave Jr.? Aside from the fact that he or maybe both of you are now moving to Nashville.
Oh my God. On the way home, out of curiosity, I got.
Now, in fairness, I did say to him, it is your job to deliver so much value to your dad that you're going to be like, I'm going to be here. I'm going to work from Nashville. I'm going to be so amazing that it's still going to be okay.
You know, it's funny. I was playing around with the calculator and paper on the way back from the airport. And I'm like, you know, I could save about $100,000 a year in taxes between property taxes, state income taxes, and selling my place in Naples and having one place. And I'm scratching my head, honestly. remember, I'm from Buffalo, you know, so I'm joking around. But anyways, it was a great time. And one of the things, but yeah, David's, you know, he said to me at the airport, he's like, he just bought a condo here in Buffalo. And he's like, what would it take for me to break even if I say he was starting to think about things?
6% commission raise your inflation.
Yeah. But no, it's all good and healthy for sure. You know, for me, it was fantastic. And just some feedback, it was great when I came back to the office. You know, I have two other planners that are plugged into this virtually, and you know, everybody's just super excited about, you know, they really enjoyed the meeting this past week. So everybody, you know, we're all re-energized. You know, for me, it's kind of like an awakening in a way, because it's kind of like the old way of marketing and growth is very outdated, you know, and, you know, to, you know, just, this is like a whole new world with the website and the call to action and, you know, the way, like, you know, learning from Taylor, how he, you know, screens and pre-qualifies. And we're really, that's the direction we're going. As you know, our website is just about almost complete. And that's the direction we're really going to be taking it. So for me, it's just like an awakening of this, you know, from the old way to the new way. It gives us plenty of great direction. One of the things that we're going to, you know, the main areas that we're going to really focus in on are the center of influence, creating a center of influence mastermind. I know that our mastermind group was very interested. I asked Tiffany if she would do a, you know, webinar, like maybe join one of our mastermind meetings and just kind of do a webinar for us. Because I know she's got like rules of engagement, the 80% attendance rule and so forth, kind of just sharing best practices with it. You know, so we're going to, you know, I'll be reaching out, you know, Tiffany, maybe we can set up that date for our group. You know, I don't know if that's anything you'd want to open up maybe for everybody that would be interested. I'm not sure.
We can, if you guys want to do that, we can do that. We can record it and share it. We can just find a Tribe Talk time for it if more of you want to join. So just, we can coordinate that and figure it out.
Yeah. So we're real excited about that. The other part of it is really, you know, we're going to get into the podcasting, you know, So I'm going to invest time in podcasting and invest time in the weekly email communication. So those are going to really be, you know, between the website being updated, COI and the you know, just more personalized weekly communication. Those are going to be really my areas, basically, that I focus in on.
Great. That's awesome. Yeah. And I know we talked about the website. So when you have those next round of changes, send them over and we'll dive into like one.
Yeah. Thanks. Review. Thank you. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks.
Well, good. So it sounds like you and Dave are both excited. And the cool thing is, whether he moves to Nashville now or not, the fun part is that he's at a point in his life where he gets to see that it's possible. That he literally sat in the room. He's like, I'm going to grind it out for 10 more years, and grind is right relative. But, and then I'm going to, you know, I'm going to do like this cool lifestyle. It's going to be amazing. It's like, man, if I had known that at his age, it would have been awesome.
Yeah, I know.
So, and again, Mike, you guys are going to grow that path together. And so he'll get to learn along the way and you'll get his support as you do. So it's a win-win. Awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks.
Mr. Hansen, how about you? We missed you in person, but it's good to see you.
Yep. I'd have loved to have been there. I really wanted to go through that visioning process. Hopefully I'll get some videos and go off and do that. But yeah, we're all excited. Everybody made the first 2 days. And then, we're all on the same page again. After 3 years, I feel like we've got it. Everything's going well. We're growing. We need to go take all of the stuff we've developed over the last 2-3 years and have it redone. It looks like it came from, again, there's 5 or 6 documents clearly done by 5 or 6 different companies, it looks like. So we've got to get that straightened out. But I think everybody's very, very comfortable with our message, you know, our messaging, what we're doing and how we're growing. Now it's a matter of, like you said, getting enough people in here to support it and actually putting some of the stuff, committing to having some of the documents and so forth done. Great. And just keep iterating on them.
Yeah. Well, when we have our call, we can talk through the visioning exercise. If that's something you want to do with the group or the team, let me know. We can schedule some time to do that. But I think we did. It was expansive. I think that was the goal, like to really push people's boundaries. And I think we did that. And then we talked about brands and websites and right, the growth strategy. The branding and the website you've obviously heard and done, and we can talk through that. But the visioning and the growth strategy, we can definitely catch you up on that. So I'll just make a note, but you can definitely make a note too. And we'll make sure that we do that in your and your next call in Q4. Awesome.
I did want to ask if you did do the Limitless 2023 or if that's going to be on one of these other ones.
We did do it. I think somewhere in there I said it was $99 for leaders, which was really awesome.
Did you invite Chris back? Is Chris allowed to come back?
Yeah. So we do have that. And Allison's going to send the video out so that everybody has it and you guys can talk through that. But it's basically the same price as this year, but more cool stuff. We're hiring a practice coach. We're putting like a monthly check-in structure in place just to make sure you guys feel a little bit more anchored between those calls. Some of you like have just reached out and we've had those conversations. I think sometimes you guys forget that you get to do that and right, you get busy and you start working. So we check in. So we just want to put, so there's, it'll go through all of that, but that's the general idea. And obviously happy to talk to you guys about it.
Okay.
Good things. All good stuff, by the way. I'm really excited, about next year. Isaac, how about you? Did you drive or fly this time? You flew this time, right?
Yes, a little too far. I flew / ran. I sprinted through the Salt Lake City airport to make my connection. It was like a 55-minute window, and we were about 30 to 35 minutes late getting in. So I was sprinting, but I made it.
You know that airport, literally from the gate to the B terminal, is 1.2 miles with that. Like, did you have to go from A to B with a long underground?
I went from B to A. So I got my workout in at about 10:30 on Friday night.
I did that on the way out. I set my alarm for the Uber for 5:30 and I accidentally should have set it for 5. So I got to Salt Lake with 31 minutes. And because it was a week, I had to check an actual bag, which I never do. And she was like, it's 1.2 miles. You're never going to make it. And I was like, I'm lucky. Let me try. And I'm telling you, I ran. And the flight was 6 minutes late and I made it.
Yeah. I mean, I was impressed with myself because I had two huge suitcases full of like boots and like hair products and like all this stuff. And I made it.
Well, we know the hair products was one bag all by itself with that cool dude that you got going.
Yes, yes, yes. All right. Also, by the way, for those that are curious, we got Banana Republic today and I picked it out myself. So I felt pretty good.
Excellent.
Feeling good.
Yeah.
Yes. Is that allowed?
When it's work from home, I'm given a little discretion. Yes. Awesome. All right. So I did lots of thinking
myself, which is a real bummer.
It's tough. It's a chore. I did a lot of thinking this weekend, actually, unlike others, could not like process all the stuff. I don't know. I'm impressed with those who were not able to think about all the content. I think there's a lot of takeaways I got, like Kitsy's initial presentation of just like, you all are underspending on marketing, just has me thinking. Taylor, I went to one of his presentations and he was just like, grind on your funnel. Like, don't have a million funnels, have one or two that work and just keep grinding on each part, and whatever part's not working, you know, go back and iterate and improve on that, which is like not new information, but it's like, it's good to get a reminder of those things, I find. The thing that has me, well, there were, we had our sales, Stephanie recorded a bunch of sales feedback and we had a meeting with the team this morning to go through that, and all good stuff. Like, we're making progress on that. And there was a lot of different things that were relevant to that through different sessions that we're able to incorporate into that. So I think that's good, moving in the right direction. The thing that I'm most thinking about was that value messaging or the brand positioning piece. Like, we've been very functional of like, you know, optimize your equity compensation and reduce your taxes and all that stuff. And thinking about how we bring in some more of the feeling side of things and like where somebody's going from and where we're going to try to end up getting them, and have a lot of thoughts around that. And I just need to sit with it more to kind of iron out the kinks, I guess. But like, the main thing that I'm thinking about is, it's almost like, who do we want to turn away? And I think some of this was our conversation, Stephanie, around positioning against Fidelity Advisor services that are in, provided by their employer. Like, we don't want the person that just wants average or whatever. It's the person that's trying to do more with their life and more with their wealth. And how do we position around that, that what we provide is not for everybody and we don't want to work with everybody and we're looking for this kind of person. One of our favorite clients, I distinctly remember when he came on board, he's like, we're not necessarily looking to do this cheap. And that's like the type of client, obviously, that all of us want. And so like, how do we position into that? And anyway, that's what I'm, that was my big homework from the conference. In addition to a lot of the stuff that we're already working on is just going back and spending some more time with that branding and the positioning and then incorporating that into everything we do.
Yep. And it's really about like, we build our brand through the lens of all that we know. And we're like, here's what we think you want to hear. And really hopefully the branding conversation helped to shift that to where are they sitting and what are they receiving on the other side of that? And I think to your earlier point around Taylor and the funnels, that's what we've been talking about with respect to you've got Intel as a channel. And my, like when we get one of those channels really nailed, like we, again, it doesn't mean that you're not going to take the Microsoft client or the Google client when they come, you've got the capacity to do that. But where's the energy going in terms of the growth engine, right? And that is like, let's really nail this one, because as soon as we get it nailed, as we talked about, then it's just lather, rinse, repeat. We take the same model, we apply it to the next audience. You're going to spend time tweaking and refining the next audience, but it will be incrementally less because the best practices are based, baked in, right? You know what kind of downloads get the highest adoption versus the ones that don't, right? Microsoft, Intel, and then you and I talked about like Isaac's in a great position. He might like, he's playing the specialist play against the benefits providers that are lower cost versus we ultimately have to position him as a special provider for people who want more or better. We have to draw that line in the sand. Otherwise in big companies, there are just more and more firms who are getting into those ecosystems earlier to capture that opportunity through the 401ks and the benefit plans. And so, you know, there's some version of, right, maximizing your RSUs in a way that maximize your life and your retirement. We just have to find the sticky words that say what we do is different and better. And my favorite way, you guys have heard me talk about it in different ways, is what I call the draw the line in the stand strategy. There's something really powerful about saying different firms have different approaches, right? Obviously, when the firm's bringing in a benefits provider, their job, like we want to get really refined about this message. Their job is to provide a base level of services to the broad employee population. And that's a great service to be able to have. It, well, our experience is just that our firm takes a much more specialist approach. We understand, right, all the intricacies of RSUs and it's very customized. And if you're like, if you're missing that, like you're really just basically saying different firms have different approaches. Our approach is, and the brain works in such a way that the second that you say different firms have different approaches, you draw a line. The second that you say our approach is this, we believe that planning is this, you should give it for free, you shouldn't give it for free, it doesn't matter. As soon as you take a position, the brain catches that your position is proposed as superior. And then it's listening for, explain to me why it's better. Hey, different firms take different approaches. You can have a base level of service. And if that's what meets your budget and your base planning needs, that might be the right option for you. We just believe in taking a different approach. We understand that RSUs are the biggest asset lever you have to really fund the life and the retirement that you really want. And we've developed a real specialty in making sure that we pick three or four things that they're going to rate specialty, like those things you can't mess up. And then they're going to be like, wow, I don't know if those guys do that or not, but I really know they do. And your job in that process, and we'll look at that. So when we talked about position, that's what Isaac has to layer into his brand message is a position. We're the friendly firm, we're the big firm, we're the snowbird firm, we're the specialist firm. So Isaac has to be the smartest specialist in this space because there are free services available. So that barbell, we can't hide from it. We have to say, there is a barbell. You have free stuff over here, or you have cheap stuff here, but the good stuff is here. And we still have to do all that messaging around outcome and brand promises and everything else, which should elevate our their curiosity so that we have permission to tell that specialist message a lot more, because the people who tend to respond to that message and pay for value are people that respond to that kind of messaging. And so that's ultimately the goal. So you've got great stuff in your marketing. That's the refinement. Like, how can we hone that message a little bit sharper? And then how do we really go back through it? Again, lead gen, website, sales process to create that differentiation of you as specialist, because that's what's going to defend the value moat. Or you have to lower your fees, and we don't want to do that. No, we do not want to do that. Nor is it necessary. You just have to demonstrate the value proposition. Your biggest issue, by the way, will be that in 5 years, those firms will get copies of your stuff and then they'll borrow it and you'll have to evolve. Ask me how I know that. Someone will be like, hey, this firm over here wants to charge me $10,000. Look what they gave me. And they'll be like, oh, we can do that for free. And then you'll see some version of your service model 3 to 4 years from now. So that's where innovation just becomes part of the game. Melissa, how are you doing today? We were just recapping on, no, can't hear you.
I'm good. Thank you.
Hey, hi. We were just recapping takeaways from last week after everyone digested. What are you processing? What's on your mind? Big questions or key takeaways.
Super timely talking about the compare to, because we just got off the call with a potential client who, the one I mentioned that found our website and has 7.7 million to invest, which they're getting investment only. And so far their investment manager has generated 300,000 in capital gains this year. 500,000 last year. So we're having a follow-up meeting to talk about investment specifically. And I was just thinking, each firm thinks about things differently. So
some firms manage portfolios and they're focused on a very narrow set of criteria and they're not looking at things like TAMP implications and capital gains. And so it's easy on the front end, but it really hits the economics on the back end. Here, what we really believe is we're going to tax optimize your portfolio. We're going to look at this, you know, when you're older, we're going to look at withdrawal sequence, like boom, boom, boom. Look at all the smart stuff that we know to make sure we don't make those kinds of mistakes.
Yep.
And that's just your positioning statement.
Yeah. So thank you for that. I got raves from my team who attended events virtually. So thank you for that as well. And then I really have been focusing as I decompressed, thinking about the five big things to focus on.
The website, yeah.
No, not the website. The five levers in our vision or whatever.
The five big moves.
Yeah. So that really feels crystallized for me, and was a big deal to me, and resonates, 96 hours later. So I really want to get on that list, especially on the delegation side of things. I think everybody will be happier when I do that.
Yeah. Look, you guys have all come away with a lot more information than you had, hopefully a broader perspective about when and where and how and why you might want to apply that information. I think as your teams have gotten more involved and engaged over the course of the year, it's starting to make more sense to them in terms of how it plays out and what it means. And, you know, the feedback we always get is right around growth strategy. People are like, I get it now. Like, now I get it. It's just a lot to absorb. And what we know is, right, if we do this incrementally over many, many years, it would be like if we had done it in the beginning, it's a lot slower for all of you. It's just, what's the perspective that we have? Where are we in position relative to where we want to be? And then what's the path that we need to take, right? Simple execution. Many of you are in a firm where you have multiple people and you have the ability to execute multiple initiatives at a time. Some of you, right, have to be really, really focused depending on where you are. The goal really with Growth Retreat was to make you guys successfully uncomfortable. We want to acknowledge all that you've done, right? You wouldn't be in this group if you hadn't been wildly successful. And leaders is all about optimizing that success. You don't need us to get here. And quite honestly, you don't need me or the group or Tiff or Jared to get where you're going to go. You will get there if you set your mind to it. It's how much energy, effort, and that you put into it and the experience that you have along the way that hopefully we can all help each other shortcut and hack as we go. For those of you who weren't there, we did talk about dates for next year. Which Allison will share, but we kind of shared that original set of dates. We also, I think, landed on like Montana, Big Sky, somewhere around some cool epic place that's not more than 45-ish. Like that's the challenge, 15 minutes from an airport. There's not a lot of amazing ranches. So we'll look at some places there that are not hours and hours up. Whistler was a great idea, but then if you have to fly to Canada and then go 2 hours up the mountain, you got to really prepare to spend time there. Maui also fun, but same thing. If you're on the East Coast, it's the equivalent of going to Europe. So it's kind of a big ask. So we'll make sure you guys have all that information, that you guys have access to the recordings. I know a number of you have scheduled your Q4 strategy calls, so we can just regroup on where you are relative to the year, plans for the quarter, start talking roadmap for next year, whatever that may mean. If you have not scheduled that yet, Joe, I'm for London too. I'll get on a plane and go anywhere. You got to get everybody else on board. So you guys going to go really place, really exciting. You just need to get together, form a consensus and let me know. And then we'll do it. We did also, Allison brought this up, have a conversation. I think it was Neil's idea. This is one of those things where you can look at something for a really long time and then someone can be like, why don't you? And you're like, I don't know. How did we miss that? We had originally scheduled lifestyle, then mastermind and leaders so that we could share that mastermind day among the groups. But it means lifestyle goes first because let's be honest, you guys are just more effective at change because you've already done it. You're bigger, you have teams. So the goal was really for them to do lifestyle, then come to their mastermind. So they have a grounding place to talk, to process, to pick their priorities and go off. And so that has been the lever that we've been trying to work around. And Neil said, why don't we switch the days? And we said, yeah, I was like, of course we can do that. And then Allison said, what about mastermind? And I was like, we're going to solve for that. And here's what came to me very, very quickly. Does anybody in this room care about being in the main mastermind room with all the lifestyle people? Not at all, right? You guys genuinely, the little keynote, the entertainment people ones, like you don't care that much. That's not what it's about. So we're going to switch it so that leaders is first and you guys will just have your masterminds as we do now on one of those days. It just won't be with the main group. Really no loss there. Then we'll do lifestyle. And then we'll do masterminds and then we'll actually end up on Friday night, which is when lifestyle usually does the big hurrah. People stay Friday, have a great time and go home on Saturday. And since we switched it to Wednesdays this year, they still go out and have a good time, but it's not quite the hurrah because they're right getting on a plane and going to home or to work the next morning. So the dates are will be communicated, but also just be aware. So you'll be able to come to leaders and then have time to, if your team's coming in for that, for example, sit with them, orient them, and then let them do that. And then we'll talk in your roadmaps for next year. There might be retreats that you do want to go back to with them to write, lead, and guide and go through. And it might be that they stay and you fly home. You don't necessarily need to go to write all those live retreat days once you've got the foundation. Again, there might be pieces you want to. But that should save you guys some time because you don't necessarily have to go to all of those days next year. So again, we'll have those conversations with you. For those of you that are continuing next year, one of the things we really want to do is sit and have conversations around, okay, where are you? Where's your team? Let's talk about the track they need to be on and then really tee it off at the beginning of the year so everyone's really clear on how those teams are going to participate as well. If you guys need any help with that over Q4, please don't hesitate to reach out. If there's anything that you want feedback on, that you want to talk through, that you want me or Tiff or Jared or Adam to talk with your group or your team, please let us know. That's what we're here for sure. Yeah. Lifestyle, Kim, great point. Lifestyle content informs leaders in the sense that you all still at some level need those lessons, right? Like everybody's plugging holes, so to speak. And so the goal is to have access to all of it so that it meets you where you are. So in your first year, a lot of it is just a good grounding knowledge of, hey, here are best practices. Here are what firms are doing. Hey, we're on track with that. We're not on track with that. There's a lot we can do. It's a big priority. It's not a big priority. In year two, it should be a much more intentional, okay, we've done a lot of work. Where are there gaps for us, right? Leader strategy growth is one thing. For the team is where do we need to bring them right up in the train, if you will? Like where are they really aligned with what we're doing? where are they less aligned and what are the things that we might want to have them do? Like, hey, we're focusing on this niche. Maybe we have the whole team go through a branding exercise and we say, hey, you guys come up with, again, not that they're going to nail it, but maybe those are things that it's like, hey, how do we get them involved and engaged in the branding process? Like, hey, we can take one of those lessons and say, here's the track. So those are the things we want to be able to sit. So again, if you guys need, have a need or want to do that in Q4, you know, we're practicing in public here. So as soon as we tell you about it, we start doing it. If there's a way we can sit in that space and help you, please let us know.
Yeah, I guess my point was, I feel like, and again, I have only been through 1 year, and many of you, this is your second or third year, but I feel like the detail of the lifestyle content helps like get to the bigger picture, more strategic stuff, because like we're grounded in that.
Yeah.
And then without that, we're kind of moving into the strategic big picture. So it's a change and I'm sure I'll get on board, but I have found it helpful to be in the nitty gritty. Yep. Before starting the leaders part of the retreat. So,
yep. Well, and again, I think that's a really good point. And that's what, you know, again, those are the things that we're looking at. So how do we solve for that? Right. And again, orienting the team, having those conversations on the front end. And those are the things that we're solving for.
Okay.
And as with all businesses, it, you know, I love it when those things happen where like the perfect answer emerges and everybody is served and it's perfect. And if your business is anything like mine, it doesn't always work that way, right? So we're always trying to balance, right, what is really impactful for the group versus, right, that 20% that we talked so much about. So again, if there's anything we can do for you and Sherry in terms of just Q4 and orienting, or as we look at the roadmap for next year, that's the feedback that we love to get so we can work with you guys, one at a group level, but also at an individual level to orient it in whatever ways that are going to work the best for you guys. All right, in terms of time, I think we have, 10 or 15 minutes left. Tiff, Jared, anything you guys want to add? I know you had lots of conversations and interactions with the group post-growth retreat. You guys did some, you know, exciting visioning yourselves. What would you guys like to add in terms of experience from just your vantage point?
I think for both of us, you know, we get a ton out of being around the community and all of you very, very smart people that are doing really cool things. So I think I came back with a renewed perspective on focus and that we've continued to say that we focus and remain a little bit more divided in our efforts on what we really need to get done. So it's some really good conversations about areas that we're going to clean that up and each focus more in on our rocks and be in our seats. And then just, you know, seeing so many people that are doing really great things. Like, I think it's a very, it reaffirms the possibility of everything that we can do, because when you have everybody that's doing amazing stuff, how can you not be part of that? So it was really good just for the mindset piece for me.
Excellent.
Yeah, I get asked a lot, like, so why are you participating? Why are you coaching? Where to start? And I go back, Steph and I started private client. She was my coach as a private client in 2017, pre-kickoff to Limitless. And then was my private coach in 2018. And I'm like, hey, I really want to join that community and get perspective on like how other people are implementing these lessons and how you're doing that at scale. One, because I'm interested in that. But what I've learned over the years is like, I love coaching and being a part of the community because I just want to share and it's a natural mission of impact and doing it with people that I think can actually change this industry in a really positive way. But also like I'm such a student in this, like in learning, and every time I come back, and you need tears.
Everybody has to do the grind.
Earlier today, I have all the tears for all of you.
We should get typically like a cry cheer champion, Allison. We need like a cry cheer champion t-shirt.
I got it. Yeah, we did a go around with our team this morning on, we start off with our wellness and wisdom as a connection piece in our company. And it was like, how do you overcome overwhelm? And there was like three who were like, we need just like a really good cry and then we're good. And I was like, I get you. But I, you know, every year we come and I go to these conferences, and as much as I'm delivering, like I'm feeling the same level of overwhelm, or I have those emotions that come up of like, you know, comparison and how that feels in it, or where we're focusing or where we need to refine or where we need to simplify. And it's just to Steph's point, like I want to be on this journey and I want to hit it in a way that I feel really, really good about. And it takes strong boundaries to do that. And this community provides that both from a teaching and a learning perspective. And so it makes me really excited to continually to come because it's always refinement. There's clarity, there's good ideas. And those things then allow us to simplify as a business, deliver that to our clients and to our team. And then hopefully have the personal outcomes, like personal outcomes, as you guys know, I've had a lot since meeting Steph and this. I've literally probably 4 to 5 times my income. Like, I'm now an owner. I have the best partner. Like, we are able to make clear decisions. We have strong operations. Like, we successfully transitioned an entire generation. Like, we've done so much. And there's so much left to accomplish. And I want to do that in a way without burnout or without taking the hard route every single time. And that's what Limitless provides us. And mm-hmm. I know we get excited about the re-sign up of like what new information is coming that allows us to be more effective as people and in our business. So those are just some big things about Limitless and why I continue to like invest and come back, because I get out a lot and it's been really helpful to me personally and our practice.
That's awesome. I love that stuff. Did you guys catch, there was a lot of really good stuff in there, but there's one thing I really want to call out because it's incredibly counterintuitive. Tiffany said, we have lots of boundaries and standards. Like things they didn't have before, but boundaries and standards, the things that we're most afraid of, the things that we think are going to box us in, are the things that create the freedom that we want. The ability to know that that consistency, that clarity, right, that it's going to happen the way that you want and that you have that confidence doesn't come from, it comes from quality people. It does, right? Mike's got great people, Joe's got great, like it does. But when you're growing and things are changing and you're ratcheting it up, that's where those, right, it starts to really get a little shaky around the edges. And there's just only so far that that can take you. And whether you know it or not, the work that you're doing here, I think we actually started here. So good segue, Tiff. The work that you're doing here is really about just getting clear on that line and then putting tighter guardrails to the sides of it so you don't do as much of those whoopee-woos that I drew all over the board. It doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. It's that you, when you're in this call or you're in your mastermind, whether it's here or someone else, like somewhere else, by the way, coaching and community are the two things that affect change according to the research. It's how hard can we hold those boundaries because we're so clear, we're so committed, and we're so convicted that it's in the best interest of all the stakeholders that we're willing to step off this crisis of confidence and stop making so many compromises. And that incremental 1% or 5% or 10% can add up, as you've all seen, I hope, really rapidly over the course of a year or two or three. You can really start to get those hockey stick effects that many of you are seeing or that you're really building into for those of you that are going through big changes. So I think it's a really important point that the things that we think are what hold us back are ultimately the things that harness our energy and really herald our ability to go forth and conquer and grow at entirely new levels. But what I love about what Tiff and Jared bring and Adam brings and what all you bring is we want to do it with a lot more joy. And so as you think about your plans and the takeaways and the boundaries and the standards and the systems to really elevate your success and your scale, there are two really simple criteria I really hope that you guys take away with you for the rest of your life because they work really well. One, does it work? Two, does it feel good? It pretty much applies to anything in life, your body, your business, your butt, your bank account, your partner, your system, your time management. Like work and feel good are not necessarily the same. Our job as founders is to always sit in the space where we're trying to create that for ourselves and all the stakeholders. That's the very magical equilibrium that we're always like Tiff, like we're tight, you know, walking the tightrope with giant buckets of water in our hand, trying to stay so clear and so focused that we can draw that line as efficiently as possible and have people follow us with confidence. So I hope you guys got a ton out of the growth retreats. There's always a lot there and start to process, digest that as we have our calls. If you have not scheduled your Q4 call, please do that. If you need the link again, please feel free to reach into Leona. I want to make sure that we talk about the things we talked about at retreat, right? Strategic planning as you hit Q4 and next year. And then again, whether you're joining us or not, what do we really want to focus on as we push those growth strategies that we got right? If we're building to that 3-year circle, what's it going to look like? And what's the roadmap for next year need to look like? So that's my goal for those calls. Obviously, I want to know what has your attention and we'll follow up on that. And with that, I think we are right at time. We actually have 5 minutes left. Anybody have any comments, questions, feedback, high fives they want to give anyone?
Anyone need tears? I can do
tears. Tiff's got tears to spare. I got F-bombs. If anybody needs extras for today, I'm happy to loan them to you. Apparently, I have a stash.
My friends that visited over the weekend are now new $3.5 million clients. So it's not a bad day.
Excellent. Excellent. Hey. Yeah. Awesome.
I saw a bobcat on my run this morning. That was pretty cool.
Oh, that is cool because you saw it. You did not interact with it.
It was cool because it was not a cougar. It was a bobcat. Yeah. I like my odds better.
Cougars are scary because you only know that there's a cougar when it's like latched onto your neck and dragging you off your bike or your dog or whatever it is. Yeah, that's.
Yes. No, no thanks.
Yeah. We saw a moose yesterday. And my dog loves to bark at mooses, and they're aggressive and big. So I was like, no, we're going to go over here. We're going to not do that. Yeah. Apparently you hide behind a tree if one chases after you, because the antlers don't wrap really well. So I guess I just stand really skinny. Yeah, no. All right. Any other exciting news or funny jokes to end with? Does anybody have a good joke? I could tell you my Christmas joke, but I got to save that for December. I have the best Santa joke that you've heard in your entire life. It will make you the Tiffany, right? Jared, have you heard the Christmas joke? The Santa joke? Yeah.
Yes.
No joke. You have to wait till December because I will tell you, but it is the best Christmas joke. You will be the most popular person at Christmas parties with this joke. It's awesome. All right. I don't have a September joke.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Something to look forward to. I don't have a September joke, so unless anybody can kick in, I'm going to let you guys wrap for today. Wait, what was it, Parker? What Parker told me a joke the other day. Oh, how do you make a tissue dance?
You put a little boogie in it.
You put a little boogie in it. Isn't that cute? Yeah.
Dad jokes.
You want to hear a dirty? Do you guys want to hear a dirty joke? White horse fell in the mud. That was my crazy joke when I was a kid. I'd be like, "Do you want to hear a dirty joke?" People would be like, "Oh." I say, do you want to hear a clean joke? Give it a bath.
Did I tell you guys why teenage girls walk in odd numbers?
Have no, I told why?
Because they can't even. There you go.
I'm going to start slowly wheeling out of the room.
You're welcome.
All right. You guys, have a great day. Laughter is the best medicine. Thanks, Tiff. You guys have a wonderful week.
We'll see y'all.